Hello and welcome to the British English Podcast with your host, Charlie Baxter. Today, we're going to have a conversation with somebody who is in the process of moving back to the UK. And I said back there because they are British. They were born and raised in the UK. You've heard of them before. He's been on my show many times. He's the one and only rock and roll star, Martin Johnston. Hello, Martin. How are you doing?
Not bad, Charlie. Thanks for having me on again. Always a pleasure.
Lovely stuff. So we wasted no time at all and we started recording to catch the real English in the conversation. We haven't spoken properly for, I'd say, 4 months, maybe? Three months?
Something like that.
Yeah. And in that time, you've attempted to move back to the UK. You're back in Sicily.
The perfect word.
You're back in Sicily. So can you tell me what's going on right now?
Who would have guessed, but moving country is actually really difficult. So we moved back to the UK. I mean, thinking about it, in hindsight, it was a very stupid thing because we moved back on the 24th of December. And then obviously that's kind of a busy time of year, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you have Christmas and New Year.
Did you have the song, "We're Driving Home for Christmas, Baby," kind of?
Yeah, but we just had to move driving, like change that for flying. Yeah. And yeah, had that. And then, well, mainly because we wanted to obviously have Christmas in England because, like, obviously, like the pandemic and stuff, haven't been able to go back so much. And so then we thought, okay, then we'll go over then and we'll stay over. But very quickly, obviously, looking for a place to rent. And yeah, between Christmas and New Year, as you can imagine, that's not so easy.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of have to wait for everything to go back to normal. And then...
This episode comes with a free worksheet over on the website, thebritishenglishpodcast.com. So grab that and you can listen along whilst using it.
I think because maybe we're just used to how things are in Sicily, or I just don't remember how or what's involved with renting a place in the UK, but there were so many like checks and it was just lots of boring stuff. So when I was going into agencies, so they say, right, okay, how much do you want to spend, blah, blah, blah. And they say, okay, so are you working at the moment? And so then I would respond, well, I'm self-employed. And immediately it would be like, oh, like we don't like that. And then like, it's okay, like I can cover the rent, no problem. And they say, okay, well, we need your last 3 years of tax returns. And I was like, well, I've only been officially self-employed for less than a year and in another country. And then they were like, okay, like really sort of looking at me like I was an alien.
Wow. This is actually really useful information for me because, yeah, I'll be facing the same kind of doubt in about a year or so.
Yeah. And then to make things even worse, they said, like, will you be living in the property alone? And I said, well, no, my wife and daughter are coming over as well. And they were like, okay, so, because when I said I'm coming over, because I wanted to make out that they weren't with me at that point because I was going alone and I wanted to make out they were still in Italy and they were going to come back, but really they were in England as well because I thought I'll rent it in my name.
Yeah.
Do everything there and then they can move over. And then they said, right, okay, well, she's going to have to be here on the day you're moving. And then when I said that she was Italian, they said, because obviously now with Brexit, you need a visa. They said, has she got her visa? And we went in October to get the visa. It should be any day. And again, just had that face of like, hmm. And the other thing, which again, I didn't know, apparently this is because of the pandemic, because lots of people working in London that are now working like from home and will continue working from home, or maybe they'll have to go to the office one or two times a week, are all moving out of London because London's obviously much more expensive and going to like the areas near London, one of which is Chelmsford in Essex, which is where I'm from. So there's like a really high demand for rented properties. And then when we were going to see a property, they said, for example, okay, so like 25 people have seen it already. 10 have said yes. So if you're interested, we'll put your name on the list of the yes list, let's call it, and then we will give the yes list to the landlord and they will make a decision of like who is the best person. And for everything I just explained, pretty sure we were at the bottom of that list.
So you can't get that person's details and, you know, wine and dine them maybe, or...
Yeah, like send him a nice bottle of wine or something like that. No, unfortunately not. And luckily we managed it, because there was a point when, honestly, I was thinking, I don't think this is going to be possible. Wow. And it's quite demoralizing as well, because obviously we were staying at my mum's, which, you know, with a wife and child can be quite stressful anyway.
Although, does that not help? Sorry to interrupt, but does that not help the fact that you've got a hand in helping with your child? How old is your baby?
Yeah, nearly one. Maybe by the time this podcast comes out, she'll be one. Birthday's on Valentine's Day, in case you're interested. Easy to remember. It helps with that. But, you know, we had essentially gone from living in a very large apartment to living in a room, basically. And you know where your stuff is. And then we were kind of basically living out of a suitcase. On top of that, obviously, I was trying to work. And then you have to go out and see houses. You go and see the house and they say again, okay, well, you know, one place they said, well, I called and they said, okay, well, 47 people are before you. Do you want me to like arrange a viewing for after to put you number 48? And I was like, well, I mean, you can give me a ring if 47 people say no. I mean, if 47 people say no, there's probably something wrong with the property anyway. So yeah, it was quite demoralizing and kind of thinking, I don't think this is going to work.
Wow.
But then luckily we kind of like a friend of a friend kind of thing spoke to them, and then they took us around to see a property that wasn't on the market yet, that nobody had seen. So there weren't 47 people in the queue.
Ah.
And then, so then we said, yes, okay, we'll take this. And then they then said it will be ready at the end of February, early March. So we thought, let's go back to Sicily. We still have 90% of our stuff here. And also now trying to work out how to move stuff, because we've only lived here for a few years, I think 4 years. So we've got everything that's kind of like brand new. I mean, we bought a new couch like in August, and that was obviously quite a lot of money. And so you kind of think, well, this place we're going to is unfurnished.
Right.
So you kind of think, do I want to buy another couch? I mean, I bought one of those in August. It's not something, you don't normally buy two in 6 months, do you?
No. Yeah. It's a good quality couch. Is it an L by any chance?
It's one of the L's. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an L.
Good call. Good call.
Yeah. I love it. A real beauty. But so yeah, would very much like to bring that. But the problem is now moving things. So yeah, we've been speaking to quite a lot of people about like international transport. People come round and they have like a little clipboard, and it is strange. You send them pictures on WhatsApp of what you want to bring, and then they come round to look at it, and then you think, well, kind of probably just saw this from the picture. And then what they also do is they first of all, from the WhatsApp quote, say, okay, yeah, no, you haven't got that much stuff. It will be like probably like 2,500-3,000. And it's like, okay, that sounds good. And then they come round and they say, oh, I think it'd probably be like 8 or 10. And you're like,
that's
okay.
A big
exactly.
Here's the door. Okay. Well, it depends how much stuff you've got. But we used to live in Germany, and we decided to leave our stuff in the UK whilst we lived in Australia. And then when we go back to Australia, our stuff will still be there. So if that, does that make sense?
So you used to live in Germany.
Yes.
And you moved your stuff from Germany to the UK.
Yes.
And so then when you come back from Australia, your stuff you still have in the UK.
Exactly. We've put it in storage. We've actually put it right in my grandfather's garage, who's recently deceased. Okay. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
But, okay. Well, sorry to hear that.
No, yeah. He had a good innings. But thank you for saying that. Yeah. I feel like maybe what we did might be interesting for you. So I looked at quite a few men with vans, or
a man with a van. That's such a great term, isn't it? Yeah.
And they were quoting about 2,000 euros, I think, maybe a bit less, for a full, like, proper white van kind of size. You know, I know that there's probably terms that you're aware of right now. Long wheel-based, is that one? I think so.
Right. I actually don't know. All of these terms I'm hearing in Italian anyway. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. Okay.
Yeah.
Any idea what that would be in Italian?
Well, I mean, I say I'm hearing. My wife's taking care of that stuff. So.
Anyway, so they were quoting this, and then we actually got Stacey, my partner's parents, to hire a van from the UK, drive it over to Nuremberg, and then we packed up, and then we flew them home, and we drove it home, because we didn't want them to do back and forth. But they were excited to do the road trip. I don't know if you've got any willing friends or family that would be willing to do a little road trip down to Sicily. I just wanted to check in with you about something. Are you one of those language learners who often thinks, am I actually making any progress with my English? Is what I'm doing to study actually working for me? Or am I just wasting my precious time here? Well, if you think this way, then I'd like to encourage you to take action on this. Imagine how much more motivated you would be to put time and effort into your English studies if you knew that every time you studied, you would be guaranteed to be making significant progress. How much more satisfying would that be? So what do we need to do in order to find more clarity around this issue? Well, tracking your progress is a wonderful way to show evidence of your language skills having actually improved. And to track progress, the first thing you need to do is understand what level you are currently at. If you haven't taken a level assessment recently, then I highly recommend using my free test that will instantly tell you your level of English. Once you know this, you can start tracking your progress, which comes in many forms based on personal preference and your level of English. But that's a conversation for another time. For now, though, make sure you check your level of English with my free level checker, which is available over on thebritishenglishpodcast.com/freebies. That is thebritishenglishpodcast.com/freebies, or find it in the show notes of this episode. With a ferry.
I have, actually, which is my dad loves stuff like that. And I was actually thinking a lot about this yesterday. And the main thing I was thinking is, God, if I did that with my dad, that would be bloody brilliant podcast material. Which is basically how I live my life these days. I kind of think something good would definitely happen, and I could definitely talk about that on the podcast.
Well, that's why you got the baby, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course, the whole thing. That's basically why I'm moving country as well. In fact, I said this recently, because in the last few years, we bought this place in Sicily, then we got married, then we had a baby, and then it was kind of like, well, nothing's going on now, so we need to kind of like shake it up a bit. So let's move country. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
But so yeah, my dad is quite willing for that. And I would like that as well. The only thing that I think is just the stress levels. And as part of me thinks I would just like to pay, because the good thing about some of these places, they actually come like take down the furniture, like take it apart, and then they put it all, they together, and then they get there, and then they put it up again.
Yeah,
so that sounds good. Like, I'm not really a handyman anyway, and I just I've got a lot going on anyway, and I think, do I want to be spending days of like taking apart furniture, and then there's lots of boxes, and you get there, and then I'm getting a headache even just thinking about it.
Yeah, I can see the veins throbbing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's about what how easy you want it to be for you. But
One other important thing actually is Germany is like mainland Europe, and the problem with Sicily is an island. So anytime we speak to someone, they immediately say it's going to cost more because you're on an island, because you can just basically drive on land, you know, to like Calais in France from Germany, and then over you go, kind of thing. But Sicily, you need to, there needs to be some kind of other ferry involved at some point.
Yes. Yeah. But I imagine there's frequent ferries going between.
Oh, yeah. It's not a problem. It just costs more and is adds a little bit more stress to it. And another new problem, which I assume you didn't have, is Brexit, because there are now the customs and you have to pay a tax on 20% of the value of things you're bringing over. Yeah, that's just something else that you have to pay. Although,
wow. So you got to pay 20% of your sofa's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Although admittedly, everyone that we've spoken to just says just declare much less, because I mean the value of these goods is secondhand. So you can say, okay, like the washing machine, for example, is only worth €5 anyway. So that's only one. Yeah.
20% of that. Yeah. Okay. And then with the sofa, they won't believe you for saying that it's an old one.
I'm not sure how this works. Nothing. I don't think they actually properly check. And I don't think they're too fussed anyway. I don't think they go around with a calculator. I mean, as long as you don't, pay, okay, well, everything in his work probably worth about €10. So I'll pay €2 taxes. As long as you pay into the hundreds. Most people have said if you pay sort of around €400 or €500, it's tax. So essentially you're saying it's $2,000-$2,500. If you declare that as the total value, I mean, probably shouldn't be saying this on a public podcast, could I? Just in case someone's listening.
In case the guys at Calais catch you.
If they're listeners, I'm going to be screwed once I get to the border.
Well, it's far less likely that people from France will be listening. I don't know about you, but I don't get as many French learners. Actually, I've got a few in the academy, so I'm telling a lie. But generally, no, definitely, I would say 100%. Less French.
Yeah, I've got a few as well, but yeah, a smaller number than other places in Europe, I suppose.
Where's your biggest, Poland, most popular
Russia,
country?
Italy, obviously. Italy, I think, mainly because I know lots of Italian people and they tell other people. So I would say those are the three big ones. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mentioned this to you a while ago. Would you ever consider doing random podcast
Why not?
Gigs
yeah.
in those countries?
Yeah. Why not?
Live ones?
Again, I just think it would be, it's just something to talk about on the podcast, isn't it? It'd be a great, I'll talk about it on a different podcast after. But yeah, no, it'd be great. Although, the idea of someone coming to see me just talk does, I kind of think, why would anyone want to do that? But yeah, if people are interested, then why not?
Yeah. But it is strange that you have that in your mind. I had that in my mind until I went to a live podcast gig here in Sydney and I loved it. And it was a perfect weekday evening activity to not feel hungover from the next day, but be somewhat intellectually stimulated and entertained at the same time. And I think it's a live event that's coming a long way in the recent years. It's become a little bit more
I have been to one myself.
I really
as well,
like
a live podcast gig. At the beginning, it was obviously one. I've mentioned this on this podcast before, my love for football, and it was a football podcast. It was the Guardian one, though, so that makes it sound a bit more sophisticated, okay? Yeah, and they said, thanks for coming to watch four guys that have never actually played football talk about football. And basically, I was with my friend and we kind of looked at each other and we're why are we actually here? But it was good. Like you said, intellectually stimulating. I kind of felt I've just been to a show where Guardian sports writers have just been having a chat. Yeah, sure. That's me. Yeah.
Yeah. Very sophisticated. Did you drink some wine with it?
No, I don't think.
Board of cheese?
It was a few years ago. Sorry. I would imagine we had some kind of alcoholic beverage, but I can't remember what exactly.
So the Guardian, does that mean that you were following them before and it was their personalities that you were following, or you were literally just interested in the
No, so I've been following this podcast about the Guardian football podcast. I knew I've been following it for years and years and years, and they were doing a live event and the people on the podcast were doing it. So we went along.
So they're the same people, yeah?
Yeah. It wasn't just some randoms. Yeah. I knew them, let's say, not personally. I don't think they didn't stop and say, oh, hi, Martin, how are you? Put it that way. But
they didn't invite you on stage.
Come no, on, they didn't. I'll tell you, they missed the trick there, though, because I could have given so much. But yeah, they didn't.
Yeah.
I should have said, look, I've got podcasting experience as well. Well, I think that was before I started the podcast, because that was a good few years ago now.
Ah, yeah. How long has your podcast been going?
Recently had the 5-year anniversary, which on online terms is actually really long, isn't it? It doesn't seem like that long at all. But yeah, when I talk to other people, and most people are like, yeah, I've only been doing this a year, 2 years. I'm kind of like, oh, wow, I'm an original gangster now, almost, with my
5 years.
5 years. I think, yeah, there's obviously Luke's English podcast that's been going like forever.
Yeah. 50 years, then, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I don't know many other people that have been going for 5 years now. So yeah, it was in January. Had the anniversary. Yeah, I thought, I'm going to do something really big. It's going to be great. And then you're always really busy. It comes around. And then I just had a podcast of just me talking for 37 minutes, I think. And so that was the big surprise.
I did exactly the same on the 1 year birthday. It was just me talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not the biggest present for the listener. So congratulations. Very impressive. 5 years.
Thanks.
Going back to you moving to the UK, what would you say you're excited about going back to the UK for? What do you feel like you've missed in the years that you've been in Italy, you're gagging for in the UK?
Well, I think the saying, as they say, there's no place like home, is very much true. And I mean, essentially, I haven't lived at home since I went to university. So I had a year out. So I was 19 when I went to university. So that's like, I'm like 37 now. So that's like nearly 20 years ago. But I mean, I've used home as like a base, let's say. So like, you know, like summers at university and other periods like moving between places, maybe I've stayed like a few months, but never properly lived at home for a long time. And so it was just nice now going back with like, you just know the area, like know lots of people, because I mean, yeah, obviously like I've been living abroad for a long time now and I do have friends here, but it's not the same. Like my friends from home, like best friends, we've literally been friends since we were in primary school, since we were four. So it's not the same. And so lots of them as well now, obviously like similar stages in our lives, have got kids as well. So like, you know, we do things with like families and stuff like that. I would say, yeah, the sort of social side of things. For example, I was going to the gym when I was in England every day with one of my friends as well. I didn't realize how cheap gyms are in England now. It's ridiculous. They're so
really?
Cheap. Yeah.
How much?
I started with the gym, which was $18.99 a month.
Me too.
Oh, right. Okay. It's in Australia?
No, in Guildford.
Right. Okay. But you live in, so how are you traveling from Australia to Guildford in England to go to, I mean, I know it's cheap, but when you add a flight from Australia on top of that, it probably gets a bit expensive.
It does add up. Yeah. No, the gym has been around quite a few years.
Oh, has it? Right.
I recall.
Okay. And, I didn't know this.
Yeah. When I was back from uni. No, right. Before uni. So,
right, so it's been around
2008.
Right. Wow. I've never heard of the gym. I mentioned this on my podcast that whoever came up with that name, it's like, we've got a gym. What can we call it? Right. I was trying to think of some like witty names and someone said, what about the gym? And you know, how did you think of that name?
Genius. But you know what? It actually probably works to their favor a bit like the British English podcast.
Right.
Because people type in British podcast and boom, they've got it.
They've got
Same
it.
Same with the gym. Gym near me, the gym. Go.
The gym.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Sign up. £18. Done.
Yeah. Well, so I signed up for the gym, and then I realised my friend had signed up for Pure Gym, and I thought, oh, like Pure Gym sounds even better. It's just 100% gym. It's nothing but gym. So then I signed up for Pure Gym, and
so are you collecting memberships?
Well, this is it because so I was part of the gym. And then, so I signed up, paid for a month there. And then I signed up for Pure Gym, like started paying there. And then I came back to Sicily and joined the gym here. So essentially I'm a member of three gyms. That's how much I love the gym.
Well, we can't favor the gym by saying that. That's well, how yeah, much course, I love
of course, gyms. Yeah, of course. Didn't think about that. But so yeah, going back to your original question, probably that is what I'm most looking forward to.
Excellent. Guys, this is the end of part one. If you want to carry on and listen to part two and part three of this drivel, then be my guest. And before we end the public part, I want to say thank you very much for getting to the end of this, and definitely go check out 5 years worth of gold on Martin's podcast, Rock and Roll English. Yeah, Martin, thank you very much for being here for part one, but we'll see you in part two. But say goodbye to the part one listeners.
Yep, thanks everyone for listening, and yeah, hope to see you in part two.
Cool. See you guys. We will leave it there for part one of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening up to this point. If you did want to listen to part two and part three of this conversation, then you can head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com and check out the premium podcast or academy memberships. The premium podcast gives you access to the full conversation along with extended glossaries, transcripts and flashcards, whereas the academy gives you all of that plus exclusive videos and audios for the season-based episodes explaining the vocabulary, exampling them, giving you quizzes, writing assignments and weekly speaking classes on Zoom. But if you were just here for part one of this conversation, then I thank you very much for stopping by. I hope you enjoyed the show. Do grab that free worksheet by clicking the link in the show notes. My name's Charlie, and I will see you next week on the British English Podcast.